There you have it. So for you, those of you who are listening to this message, you missed getting a Lindt dark chocolate truffle. You missed it because you weren't here. So next Super Bowl Sunday, please be here and you will get a little gift. Exodus 35, verse, we're going to have our last message in the book of Exodus. Let's pray before we begin. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much that we can be here, Lord. And I thank you that there is grace to miss a church service, but it's also wonderful to be able just to be here regardless of what is going on and get into your word. And Lord, even as in the book of Exodus and the Pentateuch, we read of a burnt offering morning and evening. That's what we're here for, to surrender ourselves as living sacrifices morning and evening. And so please lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so in chapters 25, 26, 27, 28, 30, and 31, Moses was up on top of Mount Sinai, and he took instructions from the Lord on building the tabernacle with great detail. God gave him instructions on building the tabernacle. It began in Exodus 25. This is on day one, apparently, of him being up there. He was up there for 40 days, 40 nights. First instructions in Exodus 25. Now, we're in Exodus 35, but doing a little review here. In Exodus 25, the first instructions that the Lord gave to Moses was, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take for them. Gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skin, dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, onyx stones. And he says, and with them, let them make me a sanctuary, a tabernacle, a place where he would dwell with them. And he went one by one, starting with the Ark of the Covenant in chapter 25. Moving there from the table to the table of showbread, and from on chapter 26, it was instructions on the curtains in the tabernacles, and also in chapter 26, the roof of the tabernacle and the veil between the most holy place and the holy place. In chapter 27, it was the it was an altar for the sacrifices that would be in the courtyard of the tabernacle. In chapter 28, it was the holy garments of the priest, for the priests who would be ministering the tabernacle, the breastplate, the ephod, the robe, the tunic, the turban, the sash. And then in chapter 30, it was the altar for the incense offering. And so those instructions were in great detail given from God to Moses. Now, in chapters 35 through 40, we're going to see many of the exact same instructions down to the very details, the loops, the clasps, all of this repeated. Except this time it's from Moses to the people. Moses saying, this is what God told me. Now, why would God ever do that? I mean, that's a lot of chapters. Why does he have to repeat it? There's only two chapters in Genesis, first two chapters about making the whole world. Here we have about eight seven or eight chapters about making the tabernacle. We're going to talk about that. Now, chapter 35 begins with Moses gathering all the congregation together. It says in verse 1. So he's come down from... remember when he came down the first time, there was the after receiving instructions on how to build the tabernacle, when he came down the first time, what was happening, they had built a golden calf. So there was all the consequences that flowed from that. And then Moses went back up on the mountain, saw the glory of the Lord, got a new set of tablets for the Ten Commandments, because the first one he broke because he was angry at the children of Israel. He saw their calf. Actually, the second set of tablets he cut himself, but it was still God's writing on them with the Ten Commandments. And so in chapter 35, he gathers all the people to tell them what he had heard up on Mount Sinai. He first begins with an admonition of the Sabbath. At the end of verse 1, he says, "These are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath." And so, again, we see an admonition, the importance of obeying the Sabbath. Now, interesting that this happens right before giving them an admonition of, giving them instructions on how the Lord wants the tabernacle to be built. Well, the Sabbath was a gift to Israel for them to rest and for them to get to know the Lord. And so perhaps the connection here is if first there's an admonition on the Sabbath, and then it's, okay, here is my house. And so it's all connected, God getting to know his people. And so in verse 4, it says, he spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from you an offering to the Lord." Anyone remember how Exodus 25 started? It was God telling Moses, here's the offering I want you to take. And so he begins again here, and he doesn't miss a thing of what the Lord told him, but he repeats it really word by word. "Take from among you an offering, whoever is of a willing heart," meaning this is not a requirement. There were some tithes, offerings that were required, not this one. God wanted his tabernacle built through what was offered in a free will offering. He didn't twist their arms. It was just an act of grace. "Whoever's of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. All who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded." The tabernacle, its tent, its covering, its clasps, its board, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, the ark, its poles, with the mercy seat, the veil of the covering, the table and its poles, all the utensils, the showbread, also the lampstand for the light, its utensils, its lamps and oil for the light, the incense, the altar, its poles, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, and the screen for the door at the entrance of the tabernacle. Verse 16, the altar of burnt offering with its bronze grating, its poles, all its utensils, the laver and its base, the hangings of the court, its pillars and sockets and screens for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle, the pegs of the court and their cords, the garments of ministry for the ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his sons to minister as priests. Verse 20, And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of the Lord. And then it says in verse 20, then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. Every man with whom was found blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, red skins of rams, badger skins, brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering, and everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. And then it says in verse 25, all the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands, brought what they had spun of blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen, and all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. The rulers brought onyx stones, and the stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, the spices for oil, and for the light, for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord, all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze and cutting jewels for setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he has put in the heart of the ability to teach in him. And Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, he has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and of the designer and of the tapestry maker in blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works. Chapter 36 says, and Beziel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary shall do to all that the Lord has commanded. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, every one whose heart was stirred, to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing. And they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much. So, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 9:6, God loves a cheerful giver. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And here you have it. You have the tabernacle being built because people were giving up offerings that they had, that they wanted to freely give, not under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. It also says, for example, chapter 36, verse 2, the people who did the work on the tabernacle did so as a free will offering. Everyone whose heart was stirred. It wasn't under obligation. It was because they were stirred to do so. It was a free will offering. Now, you know, at the end of the book of Revelation, you will see the city of Jerusalem coming down from heaven. It was just constructed by the Lord. Why? I wonder. Why, I ask, does God have men and women be the ones to make this tabernacle on earth? I don't know that it says specifically, but with all my heart, I believe it's he could have. He could have done the whole tabernacle himself and just plopped it down there in the wilderness. But you know, God loves us so much, he wants us to participate in what he's doing on planet Earth. The Lord could call everyone. He could appear to people in dreams, as he does sometimes, give them the gospel. But he's chosen to give us the privilege, the glorious privilege, of participating in his work. And in so doing, you know, I've noticed, one thing I've learned over the years is that God chose me to be a pastor because it was the vehicle through which he would conform me into the image, his image. If I was anything else, if I was an assistant pastor, or if I was a worship leader, if I was a guitar player, if I was an usher, I would probably be walking in the flesh big time. But he wanted me to be a pastor, and all the pounding and the brokenness and the warfare and the stuff that comes with it. Why? Because this is what I needed. See, you guys here, you're a lot more spiritual than me. I needed this position where, you know, I'm really getting all the sheep kicking dirt in my face. That's what I needed. And God's doing a glorious work in his people by gathering them to do a work which he could have done by himself. He does that because that's what he has chosen to conform us into the image of Christ. God loves seeing that reflection of his glory, and that reflection of his glory which he sees when Christ is formed in us. And that happens when we faithfully put our hands to the work that he does. And that happens when we faithfully give up free will offerings, not under compulsion. And so it was a free will offering. Have someone give something to you, and they remind you that they gave it to you, and then they remind you again, and they remind you again, and then, what do you want to do with that thing that they gave you? You want to give it back. God doesn't want gifts from us unless they're given with a cheerful heart. Now, some people say, okay, I'm going to stop tithing because I don't do it with a cheerful heart. My advice to you, my pastor told me a long time ago, don't change your action, change your attitude. So in verse 8 of chapter 36, it says, then all the gifted artisans among them who worked on the tabernacle made 10 curtains woven of fine linen of blue, purple, and scarlet thread with artistic designs of cherubim. They made them. And then the following verses talk about the length, talk about the loops that were used, talk about the clasps that were used. We're not going to read all those. We read them one time back in chapters 25 through 31, 32. But they set about making the curtains. In verse 19, it says they made a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red and a covering of badger skins above that. And then it says in verse 20, the tabernacle he made with boards of acacia wood standing upright. And then he goes through in great detail the rest of the chapter, how these boards would be assembled, how they would be, you know, overlaid with gold and this type of thing, and just the pillars and things like that. He goes through those instructions, same exact instructions he had previously got from the Lord. I'm not going to read through every verse this evening. In chapter 37, it says, then Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood, so the ark of the covenant. And he then sets out exactly the instructions he got from the Lord and how Bezalel carried those out to the T. Verse 6, he made the mercy seat, and he did it to the T of how God had told Moses. Same thing with the cherubim. In verse 7, same thing for the table of showbread. In verse 10, same thing for the lampstand. In verse 17, a lot of instructions in the following verses after verse 17 about how the lampstand was done. Then in verse 25, it's then Bezalel made the incense altar of acacia wood. And then again, he obeys down to the finest little detail. Verse 29, he also made the holy anointing oil and pure incense of sweet spices. We probably spent about 10 or 15 minutes on that when Moses was getting those instructions from the Lord in chapters 25 through 31, 32. In chapter 38, verse 1, then it's Bezalel making and obeying to the T, and the children of Israel obeying to the T, the altar of burnt offering. And then he repeats exactly what was given previously in previous chapters, in chapters 25 through 31, 32, about how to make the altar of burnt offering. Same thing in verse 8 about the laver. Same thing then in verse 9, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13 about the courtyard. All of these things, each of these verses, the hooks, the capitals, the screens, the pegs, all of these details were given previously, but they are repeated. The Holy Spirit chose to repeat every one of these instructions again to describe the obedience. So chapters 25 through 31, 32, again, they are the chapters that describe the instructions to Moses. And then these chapters, chapter 35 through 39, are they're the record of the obedience to the instructions that had previously been given. And so in verse 21, it says this. This is the inventory of the tabernacle. The tabernacle of the testimony, which was counted according to the commandment of Moses for the service of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest. So that's just a nugget of wisdom there. That they didn't just take in all the, you know, all the goods and just put them in a big pile and then use them all indiscriminately. No, they counted every single piece of material, every stone, every thread, all the gold, all the silver. And they made an accounting for it, and so there was someone keeping track of it. Now, some of you don't get involved in this stuff, but you know, we have offerings coming into this church, and this is a good lesson for us. We, you know, just being vulnerable here, I was vulnerable this morning. Because for the first 8 years of the church, I was working. We were starting to save a lot of money. And we went through a couple of years where we feel, looking back, that we were spending in a way that was, there was not wisdom associated. You know, people would come for help, and it's like, sure, you know, rip out the check, here you have it. And we were not being responsible with what God gave us. And the Lord really told us, you know, you guys need to do with the offerings of the Lord, you need to have discipline there. And so you do have this interesting thing where so much was given, they actually begged the people, well, they told the people, instructed the people, stop bringing it. They could have just kept it coming in, and then you know, they put it in a big pile. Hey, we need a couple of onyx stones. Go grab a couple of the ones we threw over there. No, that you see the order here. In order for us to be obedient with the Lord's money, this is all the Lord's, right? We need to be careful in how we save it, how we store it, and how we spend it. It says, verse 24, all the gold that was used in all the work of the holy place, that is the gold of the offering, was 29 talents and 730 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. That's a lot of gold. That's a lot of gold. It's about one ton of gold. I don't know what the price of gold is going nowadays, but that's millions of dollars. Millions of dollars there. It says, and of the silver, verse 25, from those who were numbered of the congregation, was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And so, then in verse 29 it says, the offering of bronze was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. So they do this very careful accounting of exactly how much they got. And they were going to keep track of it. And God bless and praise the Lord for the men in our counting ministry. There's always more than one person, by the way. Every morning after church, they go through the process of making sure they count how much money was taken in, and they make sure that there's a deposit, And thereafter, we make sure that there's a careful accounting of how the money is spent. And so just interesting here, interesting lesson here about gathering in the offering and how they used it. Chapter 39 says, of the blue, purple, and scarlet thread, they made garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place and made the holy garments for Aaron as the Lord had commanded Moses. And then it goes on and it goes through exactly the line-by-line instructions for how to make these holy garments, the ephod, the breastplate, the sash, the turban. And then in verse 42, it says, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. Then Moses looked over all the work, and indeed they had done it as the Lord had commanded, just so they had done. That's it. Underline that. If you're taking notes, or if you have a pen and you have my permission to underline this, Bibles are for underlining. It says, and indeed they had done it as the Lord had commanded, just so they had done it. And Moses blessed them. You know, there is a kind of Christian who begins thing after thing after thing and stops in the middle of every one. You can take an inventory of how many times they've started something and not finished. You know, I don't know about you, but when I pass from this life to the next, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. It is so important that we complete what the Lord has told us to do. So why all this ink? Again, Genesis 1 and 2. Are the record of God making all the heavens and the earth and everything in the earth. And then you have about 9 or 10 chapters about the instructions for God's tabernacle. That's incredible. There's at least two reasons. One, we read about in the book of Hebrews, and that is all of this is a picture of heaven. It's a foreshadowing of Christ and a picture of heaven. That tabernacle, that Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the cherubim, gives a picture of heaven to the children of Israel. But then also I do believe it's just a statement about the importance of obeying the Lord down to the very T. Ever heard that expression, sloppy agape? Oh, because, you know, I'm living under grace, I can just, you know, I don't have to be, you know, when I set up the chairs in the morning, I can, like, you know, if the rows are crooked, God forgives me. It's grace, 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 grace. No, 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 no. You're serving the Lord. And when the Lord told you to do that thing, the instructions were to do it as unto him. Excellent. Will we make mistakes? Will we fall short? To be sure. but just the importance of obedience down to the T, verse 43. And indeed they had done it, as the Lord had commanded, just so they had done it. It says, and Moses blessed them. Let's continue in chapter 40. It says, Eddie, do you have the clock, the little clock? Okay, that clock. We turn over clocks, man, in this place. You know why, though? It's because people want me to preach really long. I'm convinced. They just want me to go on and on and on and on. I got my... Yeah, I'll be okay. 7:33. So maybe we have to get another clock. But in chapter 40, let's finish out the chapter here. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 2, on the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. So all those things had been made, but it actually hadn't been assembled yet. Verse 3, you shall put it in the ark of the testimony and partition off the ark with a veil. You shall bring in the table and arrange the things that are to be set in order on it, and you shall bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. You shall also set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony and put up the screen for the door of the tabernacle. Then you shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and you shall set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar and put water in it. You shall set up the court all around and hang up the screen at the court gate, and you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and you shall hallow it and all its utensils, and it shall be holy. Again, some of these as well, these are instructions that had been previously given to Moses. They're repeated here. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering, verse 10, and all its utensils, and consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy. And you shall anoint the laver and its base and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and wash them with water. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. You shall bring his sons and clothe them with tunics. You shall anoint them as you anointed their father, that they may minister to me as priest, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Verse 16, thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. So he did. Another verse to underline. Another verse to type up on your computer, print out, cut it out, and then put it over your doorpost. Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. So he did. And it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. Ever see those Amish people put up their houses? It's like this really cool scene. They're like putting up the houses, and they're all going up, and all the people are there, and there's cheering and that type of thing. Well, that's what's going on. Tabernacle is being raised up, verse 18. So Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its sockets, set up its boards, put it in its bars, raised up its pillars, spread out the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent on top of it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the testimony and put it in the ark. What are the testimonies? It's the two commandments, the Ten Commandments. Inserted the poles throughout the rings of the ark, put the mercy seat on top of the ark. Verse 21, and he brought the ark into the tabernacle, hung up the veil of the covering, and partitioned off the ark of the testimony as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the table in the tabernacle of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle, outside the veil, and he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the lampstand in the tabernacle of meeting across from the table on the south side of the tabernacle, And he lit the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded. He put the gold altar in the tabernacle of meeting, in front of the veil. He burned sweet incense on it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He hung up the screen at the door of the tabernacle. He put the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the grain offering, as the Lord had commanded. So the first offering there, burnt offering there in verse 29. Verse 30, he set the laver between the tabernacle of a meeting and the altar and put water there for washing. And Moses, Aaron, and his sons would wash their hands and their feet with water from it. Verse 32, whenever they went into the tabernacle of meeting, and when they came near the altar, they washed as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar and hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Same thing, by the way, happens when Solomon erects the temple, 1 Kings chapter 8. It says, whenever the cloud, verse 36, whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Please note that only when there had been obedience, and their obedience was complete, and they finished doing the instructions, did the glory of the Lord fill the temple. F.B. Meyer, talking about who in the body of Christ is filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit, says it's not those who believe the promise who were filled, nor those who desire it, but those who obey. I like that. There's a lot of talk about the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. How much people want it, how much people desire it. But the obedience doesn't match the talk. The obedience just to the word of the Lord. The obedience to offer our lives as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord, every day. Not taking days off, not taking vacations. Man, it's then that you will see the fullness of the Holy Spirit in operation in your life and the fullness of the glory of God. So that when God looks at you, he will see that clear reflection of his glory because his Son is reflected in your life, even as you obey his word. Okay. That's it. That's the book of Exodus. We finish our